This is Shine On, the Health and Happiness Show, with new episodes every week on how to live well. Shine On is heard all over the world as a podcast, but it's heard first on the radio in New York's Hudson Valley. Hi, it's Casey. Thank you so much for tuning in to Shine On. We're going to talk about peacemaking today and prenups and all things relationships. My guest is Anthony Diaz, and they call you the peacemaker. How'd you get that name?
Well, it's a long story, but even growing up, I was always known for getting involved with disagreements and people come to me to help them. I don't know why, but I have a knack of getting people to agreement and stop conflicts. So it stuck with me.
That's really great. And now it's what you do. You are, why don't you tell everybody in your own words what you do and who you are?
Sure. So I'm a collaborative and family law attorney and mediator. And in the last 4 or 5 years, my practice has been moving in the direction of helping families heal through divorce, and mostly through out of court resolution and not letting the judge make the decision. So people are really interested in self-empowerment and making sure that if they do divorce, that they're in control of the outcome. And, you know, I'm able to help them do that.
All right. Well, I'm happy you're on the planet, but prenups, to most people I know, are not part of the deal. Like, we, maybe middle-class people, never thought of a prenup. But I have to tell you something, Anthony. There have been times in my marriage, you know, marriage. I love my husband. He's amazing. But there are times when I thought, I'm not divorcing you because you're not getting my 401k. Isn't that a crazy thought? Or do you hear that all the time?
Well, I do hear that a lot. And I hear people that have a lot of resistance to prenuptials, especially before they're getting married. Everybody's in love and they're thinking about the wedding and the marriage. Nobody is thinking about what happens if there is a divorce, but it really is an important conversation to have beforehand. Not that you want the marriage to end up in divorce or that you're looking in that direction, but you want to make sure that you're protected if it does.
So I think, like, if I had a prenup, I would, you know, in those troubling days that marriages go through, I think if I had a prenup, I might have really considered, you know, changing my life. But without a prenup, I'm like, well, I think I'll stick around.
Yeah, I mean, some people look at it that way and think that, well, it's going to make it easier to divorce. But really, having a conversation about a prenuptial before you get married really starts the beginning of difficult conversations. Marriage isn't easy, okay? And there's a lot of things that happen that are uncomfortable. And the way I look at it is, if you can't have uncomfortable conversations before you get married, how are you going to have those conversations when things do come up? And things will come up during the marriage that require having some intention. So, you know, having these conversations now really set the stage for healthy conversations later.
So a prenup is like, I love you so much, I'm going to make sure everything is nicey-nice if the day comes when I don't like you anymore.
Well, that's a great way to look at it. It takes the conflict out of divorce, if divorce happens, because let's be serious, you know, 1 in 2 marriages end up in divorce. I mean, that's just a fact. And knowing that that happens, prenuptial is like insurance. Nobody wants to pay for insurance, health insurance, car insurance. Nobody says, well, I'm getting insurance because I know I'm going to get sick or I know I'm going to get into an accident. But in the event that you do, don't you want that insurance? Don't you want to have something to make that experience a little bit easier? And prenuptial agreements are really just like that.
All right. I'm starting to understand this more. So you say that statistically, younger people, more and more and more, are getting prenups. Tell me about that.
Yeah, it's an interesting data that I found doing research, and I think it's because, and the data seems to hold up here, that Gen Z and millennials are getting married later, and in getting married later, they have more assets and more things to bring to the table. Back in the day, when you were getting married at 18 or 19, you had nothing. I mean, nobody had anything. But now they have something of significance that could come into play if there is a divorce. And they just want to make sure that everything is fair and what they came into the marriage with, that they want to be able to protect in the event that the marriage doesn't work out.
Family mediator, attorney, and divorce coach Anthony Diaz, known as the Peacemaker, is here, and he is known for his expertise in collaborative divorcing. I want to go back to the prenup table for a minute. Did you ever sit down to do a prenup with a couple, and then they ended up not getting married because they couldn't agree on the prenup?
It hasn't happened often, but it did happen. And what was interesting, in one of the situations, they had to take a step back and try to understand why they weren't able to come up to an agreement. And I recommended couple counseling for them, and it had nothing to do with the details of the prenuptial. It had to do with some mistrust issues that were coming up and that they had throughout their life. And both of them needed to face that. That had nothing to do with the marriage, but it actually helped them understand what was happening. And when they were able to resolve that, they came back to me looking at it in a different lens, and they were able to come up to an agreement. But not coming to an agreement usually has something to do with something else and not the agreement itself.
Yeah, I would just think that if you sit down at this table with a mediator before the marriage even, stuff is gonna come up, and it might be a very good thing that stuff comes up.
It does. And it's good that it comes up before the marriage, because it allows them the opportunity to explore that and to understand what's getting in the way. And it actually is a conversation that will strengthen the marriage, because you're able to trust in each other to have these difficult conversations. And it takes away the, well, are you saying there's going to be a divorce? And it translates that into, we have a solid relationship. We don't want a divorce, but in the event that there is, we really have a guideline and a path.
Yeah, a path that doesn't make a tough situation even harder, right?
Yeah, exactly. Because I've got a lot of experience of cases going to court, and that's the last place that people want to be if there is a divorce. You're allowing the court and someone who doesn't understand you to make a decision. So, in order to avoid those decisions being made by somebody else, it's really easier to make those decisions in advance by yourself. So if there is a divorce, everything's already spelled out, and you don't need to go to court. You already have a framework of what happens, if the marriage doesn't work out.
Anthony Diaz, the peacemaker, I never thought of that part. I never thought of that part, that the judge could decide what happens to me and my stuff.
Yes, and after the fact, people really are resentful of that, because somebody's not going to get what they want, or maybe both of them don't get the outcome they look at. And then there's always some underlying resentment going forward, trying to go back to court to undo wrong. And especially if there's kids involved, you want to be able to keep all of the matters out of court, because you don't want that to affect your children later. You don't have children in the beginning, but most couples do, and staying out of court really protects them for a nasty outcome.
Yeah. Protect the kids for sure, but also end protect your own self. Like, I'm thinking right now as we're having this conversation, I can think of two men who stayed in terrible situations because financially it was the thing to do. Like, and they had, you know, other romantic interests and they could have had been out there living a great life, but instead they were tied to the situation until the kids got out of college, until, you know, until. That's not a fun way to live life.
No, it isn't. And it sometimes it forces people to stay in an unhealthy situation, which is not good for them or their spouse. And it creates a lot of friction that doesn't need to be there because they're afraid of what happens. You know, the reality is, you know, you stick in a marriage because you don't have a prenuptial agreement. Well, that other spouse might decide to get divorced. And then what do you do? You've stayed in a marriage that you didn't want, but ultimately the other spouse files for divorce and you're in the same situation that you would have been before. But now you have no protection. And now you have to, if you don't have an agreement, let a judge make the decision. And let me tell you, when divorce happens, you know, it a lot of times it's not a fun place. The emotions come out and you're not in the best place to make a good decision that you would have been if you decided on these items before you even got married.
I can't even imagine that kind of terror that you're in a divorce proceeding and you know, oh my gosh, you're depressed and you're anxious and now a judge is making decisions about your future. That's crazy. Anthony Diaz online at anthonydiazlaw.com where there's many free resources if you need advice. Peacemaker, I got to ask you this. Take me through it. We're sitting at the table. Two people come in and they say, okay, Mr. Diaz, we want our prenup. Where do we start?
So we start looking at their finances because most of the things that are protected in a prenup is assets that you're bringing into the marriage. It could be a home, it could be cars, it could be investments. So I get a feel of what each of them are bringing into the marriage. And then I ask them, what do you want to do about these? These are premarital assets. Are these the type of assets that if there's a divorce, you would like to keep them and you would like them to stay in your name? And then we have a conversation. And that's when the transparency starts. That's when the vulnerability starts. And it really, it's a fascinating conversation.
I would be exhausted by this. All the emotional stuff, like, you're really in really prickly waters. This is really personal stuff and deeply buried stuff. We walk around knowing like what we need at the grocery store. We don't walk around thinking about what we need to get if this marriage, if this union parts. That's just not something we think about. But I'm keeping the dogs. Can we write the dogs into the prenup?
You can write the dogs and really anything, whether it's dogs, it might be sentimental items. You want to make sure that you're not leaving anything to chance. And really what I mean by that is the court. If there is a divorce, if there's anything that's important to you, if there's anything that you want to make sure that gets protected. I have conversations about dogs, about paintings, about heirlooms, things that might get missed in a divorce but are deeply personal to people. It's really important to get those in writing beforehand.
Could the judge decide who gets the painting if we don't have a prenup?
Absolutely, because it may be confusing on how the painting came into be. It might have gotten mixed up in the marital assets or maybe not even identified. And now you don't know what happens with the painting even after our divorce. So this really cleans up any misunderstanding or anything that may fall through the cracks.
Does the prenup have to be pre? Can people come to you for a post-nup? Can people say, hey, we've been married for a year, but now we want to make this agreement?
Yes. And actually, a postnuptial agreement and a prenuptial agreement many times are very similar. It gets a little bit more involved because now you may have assets that are marital that people say, hey, listen, we have a marital asset, but if something happens, I want you to have it or I want to have it. So you have to have a little bit more conversations. Postnuptials are very common these days because people either didn't think about it before or they realized maybe there is a divorce that's coming. And we don't want a whole protracted affair. Let's get our affairs in order now. Let's work on the marriage. If it works, great.
Great.
We have an agreement that we don't even have to look at. But in the event it doesn't, we've been taking proactive measures to make sure that things work out the way we want it to work out.
So if a divorce goes to the courts and all this stuff is decided in the courts, does that take a long time?
It does. I've got a couple of cases that have been going on 2 or 3 years because the courts are backed up, especially now with the economy. States don't have a lot of funds to fund the courts. Cases are increasing, but the same number of judges there. So people have to wait a long time to get to a trial. It's very stressful and it's very expensive. And you wind up spending the money you're trying to protect on attorneys when that really wasn't what your intention is. So it does take a very long time, many times.
I don't know what the word is, ridiculous. I'm still wrapping my brain around the fact that a court could get involved in my marriage or divorce. Like, that freaks me out.
People say when they're going through a divorce, well, I want my day in court, you know, because they want the judge to make the decision. But you really don't know how the judge is going to rule. And the judge is like you and I. It's a human being. It comes to work every day, but it's been empowered with making that decision. It doesn't want to make the decision. It would thoroughly prefer the couple to make the decision. But if they can't, they've been asked to make that decision. So, be careful what you ask for, you know, when you ask for the judge to make the decision, because many times it's not going to end up the way you want it to.
Yeah. So our divorce laws, they're different in every state, right?
Well, they are. And it's, you know, it's really important that if you're going through a divorce, you have an attorney that understands the laws in that state. But a mediator can be very helpful if you're going through a divorce. A mediator can resolve your divorce. They don't have to be in the state that you're in. That they just have to be a good facilitator. But if you're going through a divorce, even if you have a prenuptial agreement, it's really key to try to resolve this before a judge makes the decision, because these are the times that you have the self-empowerment to make this decision. So have a prenuptial, but whether you do or whether you don't, use all of the means that you have to resolve your case before it goes to a judge. And a mediator is an excellent way to do that.
What's the best state to get divorced in? Who makes it easy?
Wow. I don't know all the states, but I do know Florida, which is where I do most of my practice, is a no-fault divorce state, which means you don't need a reason for divorce. Now, some states, you actually need a specific reason, adultery, abuse, and things like that before a court will even entertain your divorce. In Florida, if one person wants to get divorced, they will get divorced. The other person could be totally against the divorce, but at the end of the day, in Florida, everyone who wants a divorce will get one.
Wow. That's another thing I never thought of, that state laws could keep me in a marriage longer than I want to be in it.
Yes. So- and in many states, you know, like up in the Northeast, New York has or did have some of those laws. And it really, one, it keeps people in marriages longer than they want to. But if you have children, that really is not a good situation to be in. You want to get divorced, but you don't have the legal reason to get divorced. And that really is a lose-lose for everybody.
So I'm now thinking, divorce can be expensive.
It can and usually is expensive if you go to court and use the court system. You know, we're talking 5 or 6 figures of fees if it goes to court. Judge makes the decision, and then many times the person who doesn't like the decision appeals that decision, and now you have even more fees, and it goes on and on and on. But there are many ways to resolve a case out of court, and you know, my firm specializes in helping people stay out of court and help them with all the different options that they have.
Tell me a happy story, please, about a couple that you've mediated with and that it was friendly. Do you have any of those?
I do. I was in a mediation in court, and it was a high conflict divorce. And you know, I was looking at the couple and how they interacted, and I just had an intuition that there was some unfinished business there. They were high in conflict, but you can tell that they didn't really want to be there. So I asked both of them if they would like to spend some time together just talking things out. Now, the other attorneys were totally against that. And I said, trust me, you know, if things happen, we'll go in and break it up. So they were in there for about a half hour, 40 minutes. I didn't hear anything. So I went and knocked on the door. I said, I want to make sure everything is okay here. And I knocked on the door and I said, could I come in? Still didn't hear anything. I said, well, I'm definitely opening the door. Well, I opened the door and both of them were just holding each other.
Oh.
And that's really what they needed. The marriage was over, but they just needed that closure, and they couldn't get it in the room with everybody there. But I saw that they needed something, and that's what they needed.
Yeah. Aw, that's beautiful. And that's why they call him the peacemaker, Anthony Diaz. I'm loving this education of family mediator, attorney, and divorce coach, and you can find out more free resources at anthonydiazlaw.com. I would like these kinds of prenups now for all of my relationships. I would like a prenup at work. Wouldn't that be nice?
That would be great. And, you know, we don't have prenuptials at work, but what we can do in any situation is you can have a sit down with whatever relationship you have and talk about expectations. Here's what I would like to see in this relationship. And you can actually get it in writing. There are friendships, families, workplace relationships. It's all about difficult conversations. It's all about talking about expectations, and you can memorialize that.
I think we hit the nail on the head. We can have this kind of clarity in every relationship if we do the hard work to have the hard conversation. And it's crazy how crazy we can make ourselves when we avoid those hard conversations.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And if you look at friends that have been friends 20, 30, 40, 50 years, I can tell you in each of those have had at one point or another a difficult conversation. And that's what strengthens the friendship. That's what strengthens any relationship, is being able to be vulnerable and transparent and have those necessary talks when things come up. If you don't, those relationships are probably not going to last.
Right. Have the tough conversations. And when you need a little help, visit the peacemaker, Anthony Diaz, online at anthonydiazlaw.com. Lots of free resources there. And we appreciate that. We appreciate all the free resources we can get, peacemaker. All right. Give us some advice for our relationship today as we head out. What's your best advice?
The best advice is don't shy away from these difficult conversations. If there are needs that each of you have, whether it's emotional, physical, or financial, have those conversations and look to memorialize those. Look to have an agreement of if something happens in the future, that you have something to protect both of you. But it all starts with having those hard and difficult conversations. If you can't have them in the beginning, it's going to be really hard to have them in the marriage.